RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received Japanese business delegation. France interested in developing Makassar. Indonesian government allocates 466 trillion rupiah subsidy for airlines to serve remote areas. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, alias Jokowi, received a 46-member delegation from the Japanese Business Association, Kane Tarrant, at its office in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Ambassador to Japan, Yusron Isa Mahendra, stated after accompanying the delegation in the meeting with the President that several issues were discussed during the meeting, including infrastructure development, electricity, and licensing. Kane Tarrant, Chairman Sadayuki Sakakibata, stated that Japan's investment in Indonesia would be increased in the future. Sadayuki noted that Indonesia is not only a consumer market or a seller of its goods, but also plays the role of an important country that provides goods needed globally, especially in manufacturing sector. He emphasized that Japan is keen to invest in infrastructure development, including steam power, geothermal power, hydropower, and gas power electricity plants. France has expressed interest in developing South Sulawesi capital city Makassar. Several Japanese business people met with Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdant Pomanto to discuss various infrastructure development possibilities. French Ambassador to Indonesia Corinne Bruce sat in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Wednesday. Among other metropolitan cities in Indonesia, Makassar economic growth had been advanced and stable during the last decade. The ambassador remarked that among other cities in Southeast Asia, Makassar's economic growth has been advancing. The development of the city had been dynamic and in line with the program for the region. Ambassador Corinne and several French business people proposed cooperation in a number of fields, including mass transportation, sanitation and spatial management, infrastructure development and green energy. Indonesian Transportation Minister has allocated 466 billion rupiah, or around $35.9 million in subsidies this year to some airline to serve 270 routes of remote location as part of the government's program to improve access to isolated areas across the country. The minister's spokesperson Julius Andravida Barata said on Wednesday that almost half of the subsidies would be allocated to destinations in Papua. The fuel subsidies for the airlines are expected to help the carriers fly people to and from remote places as well as transport goods to and from those areas. Indonesia plans to build a car tire and instant noodles factories in Kazakhstan to expand the export of its commodities to non-traditional market in Central Asia. This was expressed by Director of South and Central Asia of Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Listawati, speaking at a seminar of Indonesian economic diplomacy in Central Asia in Jakarta on Wednesday. She stated that the establishment of two factories was part of efforts to increase Indonesia's volume of trade in Kazakhstan, given its strong economy. So far, Indonesia has only exported car tires to Kazakhstan instead of building a factory there due to certain obstacles. These include the high cost of logistics and transportation. Listowati added that Indonesia needs to follow the ways of Singapore and Malaysia. The two neighboring countries have introduced direct flights and cargo plane service to some Central Asian countries. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Japan has yet to confirm Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's attendance at the 60th commemoration of the Asian African Conference AACC, the AAC in Indonesia. This was stated by Deputy Ambassador of Japan to Indonesia, Yasuke Shindo, on Wednesday. Senior diplomat of Japan, Oki Yutaka, pointed out that Japan has received the invitation for the 60th commemoration of AAC, delivered by Indonesian Trade Minister Ahmad Gobel in January for Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. During the 60th commemoration of the AAC and 10th anniversary of the new Asian African Strategy Partner, the Government of Republic of Indonesia will host a series of high-level events themed Strengthening South-South Cooperation to Promote World Peace and Prosperity in Jakarta and Bandung on April 9 until 24, 2015. As of Wednesday, April 8, 2015, the number of Indonesian citizens who have been evacuated from Yemen to Indonesia was 771 people. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a press conference at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said there were 71 more Indonesian citizens who were evacuated on Wednesday, so that the total number who had been evacuated to the homeland is 771. According to Minister Retno, 11 of the 71 Indonesian are from the shelter in Djibouti City and other 60 are from the shelter in Salalah City. Meanwhile, the previous 700 people are from the evacuation conducted by the Indonesian government since December 2014 through April 2015.
Jadi sampai pada tanggal 8 April ini, jumlah yang sudah kita evakuasi adalah 771.
So until 8 April, the number of Indonesians who had been evacuated is 771. So there are additional 71 citizens who had been evacuated. They consist of 11 people from Aden who were temporarily placed in a shelter in Djibouti and 60 from Salalah. So once again, there are 71 more Indonesian citizens. 11 came from Djibouti, 60 came from Salalah.
Tanggal 6-nya juga 110. Jadi sekali lagi yang tambahan yang ada adalah 71 warga negara Indonesia, 11 berasal dari Djibouti, 60 berasal dari Salalah.
Furthermore, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi explained 65 other Indonesian citizens are currently outside Yemen. They consist of 43 citizens in Tahrir and 22 Indonesian embassy staff who moved from Jisan to Salalah. The 89 citizens in Aden, Retno Marsudi said, have yet to be evacuated, though they tried to evacuate it. To be evacuated on Tuesday, they were unable to enter the port and return back to the dorm together with other citizens from Malaysia and Thailand. In addition, there are 14 citizens in Sanaa City that cannot be evacuated because of a security issue. Meanwhile, in some other city, hundreds of Indonesians are ready to be evacuated, such as 24 citizens in Al-Hudaydah City, 444 citizens in Tahrir City, and 200 citizens in Al-Mukalla City. They will be evacuated by landline to Salalah City, then they will be flown to Indonesia. Minister Retno called all Indonesian people whose families and friends are still in Yemen to call the evacuation team leaders in the two areas, Lembi for the East region led by Yusron Ambari, on the number plus 96773420765, and for the West region led by Susapto Anggoro Broto on the number plus 96773781071. Nusa Penida is one of the best tourist destinations in Bali. The beautiful natural scenery, clean beaches and underwater beauty appeal to both foreign and domestic tourists to visit. Pecalan or Balinese traditional security officer of Segara Villa, Nusa Penida, Inyoman Nanek Widana in Nusa Penida, on which they said no less than 600 foreign tourists visit Nusa Penida every day.
Kalau kami pantau, kalau nggak salah, waktu sehari ini, bulan ini kan, tanggal bulan 4 tanggal 5 kami catat sekitar 600.
As we had monitored, we recorded about 672 per day for foreign tourists coming from Japan, Australia, Europe, and China. The most visits are from July to September due to holiday season.
Nah, kemungkinan karena bulan Juli itu kan di luar negeri musim libur musim.
Inyoman Nanek further said that Nusa Penida is an attractive option to divers because it has a diving spot to see sunfish or mola-mola. Sunfish is one endemic fish to this island. In addition, tourists who come to Nusa Penida can also enjoy ecotourism, namely mangrove tour, by using a small boat or canoe for about 30 minutes. According to him, to encourage tourist visits, the local community continues to strive conservation and preserve coral reefs to keep the sustainability of the coral reefs. The last item. The ASEAN's People Forum, which consists of various non-governmental organizations in ASEAN countries, will organize the ASEAN People's Forum Conference 2015 on 22nd until 25th April in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. ASEAN People's Forum 2015 Conference, focusing on the issue of civil society, will then be discussed at the ASEAN Summit. According to Anna Arifin, Indonesian Civil Society Organization delegation on Wednesday, April 8th in Jakarta, the 10th conference will address social issues such as gender equality and rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual in Indonesia.
Jadi sejak tahun 2012 kita sudah berkoalisi dengan kawan-kawan di negara-negara ASEAN yang lain. Jadi ada 3 rekomendasi utama yang selalu kita dorong. Yang pertama itu pembatalan semua, peninjauan kembali semua kebijakan-kebijakan yang diskriminatif terhadap LGBTI. Yang kedua itu bagaimana kemudian.
So since 2012 we had been in coalition with our friends in other ASEAN countries. So there are 3 recommendations that we always encourage. The first is a review of policies that discriminate against LGBTI, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex. Secondly, how every country has a friendly law and human rights mechanism which does not discriminate against LGBTI. And the last is the pathology, namely a perspective among the society which always see the LGBTI community as a disease and a sin.
Rekomendasi yang dapat diadopsi bagi kemajuan bersama. Dalam kesempatan yang sama, Ketua Panitia Konferensi ASEAN People Forum 2015, Gerald Joseph, mengatakan forum tersebut bertujuan untuk mengadvokasi dan memberikan ruang kepada masyarakat untuk berdialog mengenai isu-isu terkait komunitas ASEAN. Sekarsari melaporkan.
In addition to discussing the problems faced by the society in ASEAN countries, this forum will also generate recommendations that can be adopted for common progress. On the same occasion, chairman of the ASEAN People's Forum Conference Committee in 2015, Gerald Joseph said the forum aims to advocate and provide space for the public to engage in dialogue on issues related to ASEAN community. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Errory as a Disseminator of Information. Since the establishment of Radio Republik Indonesia, RRI, it has the slogan, once on the air, remains on the air. The expectation that RRI is able to keep its slogan was expressed by many parties. One of them was Indonesia Minister of Communication and Information, Rudiantara. This was expressed before 1,000 participants of the 4th National Jamboree of RRI, which took place in Yogyakarta since 7 April 2015. The participants of the Jamboree are employees of RRI from Sabah to Merauke. They are often called as RRI broadcasters. This social gathering is held every 2 years. This could be a good moment of introspection and self-evaluation for all RRI stakeholders. To be an inspiration to its listeners, RRI, the public and related parties should be able to maintain the sovereignty of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. By having 88 units spread in front Sabang to Merauke, RRI has the mandate to be the seatbelt of information, especially for border regions. The mandate was realized by RRI by building production studios in border areas such as in Antikon, bordering east of Malaysia, or in Atambua, which borders with East Timor. Now there are 25 studios of broadcasting in border areas. RRI is expected to play a more active role as a disseminator of information for its listeners. Moreover, for Indonesian citizens who live on the border, there are fears that they will get more information from neighboring countries compared with Indonesia itself as the homeland. Certainly, this must be paid attention by many parties. Supports to RRI as a means to keep the borders of Indonesia as defense spell of information also arise from various parties. Take, for example, the Minister of Communication and Information has been offering loans to RRI frequency for the period of 10 years. Of course, this can add to the power of RRI to disseminate information from the Indonesian perspective on the matters that affect the sovereignty of Indonesia. Through broadcasts, RRI disseminates not only information, but it is expected to motivate and inspire listeners to maintain the integrity of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. RRI can be a seal of spreading ideologies contrary to Pancasila and the Constitution 1945. The expectation and wishes that RRI can be stronger as a setwell of information can all be realized by increasing all RRI's capabilities in many aspects. Innovation and technological development must continue to be updated so that limit and distance are no longer barriers to listeners of RRI. Listen to that commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on April 9, 1957, when working cabinet established by Indonesia's first Sukarno began its service. Listener, in the era of parliamentary democracy, the Indonesian governmental system is parliamentary system. In this era, there has been changing in the cabinet for 10 times due to unstable political situation. Juanda cabinet was the 10th in the era of parliamentary democracy. Juanda cabinet was called working cabinet, which served from April 9, 1957. Juanda cabinet or working cabinet was led by Juanda with three deputies, namely Hardi, Idam Khalid, and Lemina. The task of this cabinet were to face disturbances in the region, fight to bring back West Irian to Indonesia, and to solve bad financial and economic situation. Juanda cabinet ended after President Sukarno issued presidential decree on July 5, 1959. And the next event was in 1999 when Ibrahim Barre Mainasara was ambushed and shot to death. On April 9, 1999, Ibrahim Barre Mainasara was ambushed and shot to death by soldiers at the airport in the capital city of Niamey as he was going to board a helicopter attempting flee the country, reportedly by members of the President's Guard. The circumstances of the killing were not clear. Rumors suggested that Mainasara was attempting to flee the country. Initially, his death was officially described as an unfortunate accident, but this claim was widely considered implausible. Coup leader Dauda Malam Wangki succeeded him as the head of state and initiated a political transition that ended with elections late in the year. The constitution adopted in a July 1999 referendum provides for an amnesty 4 participants in both the 1996 and 1999 coups. An investigation into Maina Sara's death had begun in June 1999, but following the amnesty, it was ended in September. The RDP Jama'ah has demanded an international inquiry into his death in the years since. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Indonesia Must Be Confident in Facing ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2015.
Focus, daily news and events.
The enforcement of ASEAN Economic Community or AEC free market is getting closer. But there are still many who worry that the industrial and domestic employment will be difficult to compete with competitors from neighboring countries such as Singapore and Malaysia. Therefore, the Indonesian government asked all businesses in the country to confidently face the AEC 2015. If the ASEAN Economic Community has been applied, Indonesia should open the flow of goods and services from neighboring countries without any further restrictions. President Jokowi in Jakarta said that many countries are afraid of Indonesia in the face of the AEC 2015. According to the president, actually there are many young entrepreneurs who are able to penetrate the international market in marketing the goods through online stores. Furthermore, President Jokowi said the development of Indonesia's economy depends on the country's perception and optimism. He admitted to face the ASEAN Economic Community, Indonesia should have a major role. So, according to President Jokowi, Indonesia does not need to be pessimistic because other countries are actually worried about Indonesia's revival. One way to compete in the ASEAN region is by doing the expansion. According to the Indonesian president, Indonesia has not been able to take advantage of the natural resources it has. All natural products are exported in the form of raw materials. Once processed in destination countries, the raw material is then made into finished goods and then marketed in Indonesia with high price. Therefore, in the future, President Jokowi wants businesses begin targeting the industrial sector. President Jokowi said that he saw many opportunities that can be used from a variety of existing government programs. Meanwhile, Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Puspa Yoga, prepares four special policies for small and medium enterprises in order to deal with the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. The first is increasing centers of clusters in the development of superior products through One Village, One Product OVOP approach. Secondly, it will boost human resource development and entrepreneurship. Thirdly, it will improve the quality and standardization of products by encouraging small and medium enterprises to encourage them to have a halal certificate. On the other hand, there are financing programs for small and medium enterprises players conducted in cooperation with the Regional Development Bank or BPD. The government is also tightening surveillance in border areas. It aims to reduce the entry of illegal products to the domestic market to facilitate micro and small businesses in standardizing products, both Indonesian National Standard ISO and International Organization for Standardization or ISO. Initiator of the National Entrepreneurship Movement 1 in 20 Movement, Budi Isman confirms national entrepreneurs should not be afraid to face the AEC 2015. He said AEC actually should be a big market for Indonesia. According to him, neighboring countries' successful entrepreneurs are not necessarily able to survive in doing business in Indonesia, as in their countries, because Indonesia has different culture from other countries. And listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a 46-member delegation from the Japanese Business Association Ken Taren and his office in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesia Ambassador to Japan Yusron Ishar Mahendra stated after accompanying the delegation in the meeting with the President that several issues were discussed during the meeting, including infrastructure development, electricity, and licensing. France has expressed interest in developing South Sulawesi capital city Makassar. Several Japanese business people met with Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdan Pomanto to discuss Peru's infrastructure development possibilities. Indonesian Transportation Minister has allocated 466 billion rupiahs, or around $35.9 million, in subsidies this year to some airlines to serve 217 roads of remote location as part of the government's program to improve access to isolated areas across Indonesia. Indonesia plans to build car tire and instant noodle factories in Kazakhstan to expand the export of its commodities to non-traditional markets in Central Asia. This was expressed by Director of South and Central Asia of Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Listowati. Japan has yet to confirm Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's attendance at the 60th commemoration of the Asian African Conference, AAC, in Indonesia. This was stated by Deputy Ambassador of Japan to Indonesia, Yasuke Shindo, on Wednesday. As of Wednesday, April 8, 2015, the number of Indonesian citizens who had been evacuated from Yemen to Indonesia was 771 people. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a press conference at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said there were 71 more Indonesian citizens who were evacuated on Wednesday, so that the total number who had been evacuated to homeland is 771. Nusa Penida is one of the best tourist destinations in Bali. The beautiful natural scenery, clean beaches and underwater beauty appeal to both foreign and domestic tourists to visit. Pecalan or Balinese Regional Security Officer of Segara Wila Nusa Penida, Inyoman Nanek Widana in Nusa Penida on Wednesday said no less than 600 foreign tourists visit Nusa Penida every day. The ASEAN People's Forum, which consists of various non-governmental organizations in ASEAN countries, will organize the ASEAN People's Forum Conference 2015 on 22nd until 25th April in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's nice to be with you. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published on Tuesday 9th of April 2015. Let's start to headline Kompas newspaper. In its headline, Kompas writes, Function Pre-Trial. The verdict of South Jakarta District Court, which rejected the pre-trial proposed by former Minister of Religious Affairs Surya Dharma Ali, was appreciated. The verdict has returned the pre-trial institution in accordance with the provision of law, namely Article 77 of the Code of Criminal Procedure Act. Single Judge Tatik Hardianti on Wednesday rejected the entire proposal of Surya Dharma that questioned the validity of the determination of suspect by the Corruption Eradication Commission in cases of alleged corruption organized in Hajj 2012-2013. Reason for refusal, among others, are not authorized to check the validity of pre-trial determination of the suspect. Determination of suspect was also not part of the act of forceful measure to the investigator, but rather an administrative action by investigators. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia write in its S-line, ministers committed to improving their performance. The plan of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala administration to the working cabinet is welcomed. Sun Minister expressed commitment to better boost their performance. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro stated that his minister performance was in accordance with the target set by President Joko Widodo, such as the smooth process of the 2014 budget. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Human Rights Budijatno Tejo Edi did not dismiss if the political turmoil had happened to the two political parties, namely Triple P and Golkar. However, he claimed to have been in tune with the President. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Indrayono Susilo said that although this minister is relatively new, it has made some breakthroughs such as the eradication of illegal fishing or fish theft. Furthermore, he said the minister will facilitate the entry of cruise ships or yachts to Indonesia through Presidential Decree No. 180-2014 earlier in a meeting with the Indonesian Elite Grid Coalition at the State Palace, Jakarta on Sunday, April 5th. President Joko Widodo complained that some aides in the cabinet were in low performance. Nevertheless, he has not confirmed that he will change his cabinet ministers. Tempo newspaper writes the airport security is worrying. The case of Mario Stephen Ambarita as an unexpected passenger who infiltrated the wheeled plane in Rio indicates poor quality of airport security in Indonesia. Secretary General of the Association of Indonesian Airlines (INAKA), Tengku Burhanuddin, said Mario's action shows how easily someone penetrates airport security. What if the terrorists enter? Tengku said yesterday. Therefore, Tengku asked the government to audit the system of PT Angkasa Pura II as airport management audit aims to improve the system, not find faults. Director of Flight Security Ministry, Yurlis Hasibuan, said the airport manager was negligent. Therefore, he would conduct an audit of the safety devices such as fences, surveillance cameras, and officers. Listener, we end the headline today with Business Indonesia newspaper. In its excellent, Business Indonesia writes, retail lending decreases. A number of banks have been capital more than 30 trillion rupiah lower the loan interest rate, especially for retail sector, to maintain the ratio of problematic credit not to get increased, instead of stimulating demand for financing. John Setiatmaja, president director of PT Bank Central Asia, said that the growing lending fell following a decline in deposit interest that has been made by the company since August 2014. Listener, that's headline of some national newspaper. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I introduce you to Rabbani Wahid Dance. So, stay tuned. Listener, Biureun is one of the districts in Aceh province. Some time ago, the district held a seminar entitled Rabbani Wahid Event in Show of 2015 to promote Rabbani Wahid Dance to the public. Rabbani Wahid Dance is a Sufi dance art from Biureun Regency. The dance was created by Teh Muhammad Daud Gadeh in 1989. It teaches about monotheism, religion, as well as cohesiveness through energetic movement. Mm-hmm. Rabbani Wahid Dance was born in Pantai Rang Village, Samalanga Subdistrict, Piren Regency. This dance originated from Meugrab Dance or Jam, where the dance was first played on the night of the Feast of Idol Fitr, which recites the lines of God. During the Dutch colonial and Indonesia post-independence, Rabbani Wahid was almost gone by time. However, Daud Gadi, a resident of Biren, revives this art. He then taught Rabbani Wahid dance to local youth, so this dance grew and widely recognized. And now, not only during the Idul Fitr, Rabbani Wahid is also played in the mosques and displayed to the general public on the distribution of tithes, birth of prophet, Ramadan, during the celebration of harvest and other events. Rabbani Wahid has more than 30 motions or movements initiated by Ratab Duak or Jikir in a sitting position and Ratab Dang or Jikir in a standing position. The first stage, the dancers sit in a straight rows. This formation is a dance sit like sitting Achenese dance. The second stage, the dancers stand in a circle facing each other and recite Jikir to the god while stamping the feet. The dance rhythm moves from slow to fast and later changes from fast to slow. Adjust the tempo with the music. Rabbani Wahid dance movement contains symbolization of greetings in prayer, patriotic joy, mutual respect, the meaning of life, faith, ties or relations of human life, the majesty and power of God and the human lament to God. In Biren, Rabbani Wahid dance has socio-cultural functions. It becomes a cohesive identity, social interaction container in socially as well as the social strengthening. Therefore, this dance continued to be developed and preserved by the local community. Persistence and seriousness of the local youth to continue to practice is not in vain. In fact, Rabbani Wahid dance become known not only through the archipelago but also abroad. Sometimes they perform in Malaysia, Singapore, and Turkey. In Turkey, Wahid Rabbani dance performed during the International Festival of Music and Dance, which took place from 25 to 30 August 2002. At that time, Rabbani art represented Indonesia and was successful to amaze the audience abroad. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Rabbani Wahid Dance. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Dance.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I introduce you to a band named Azura. Ajura Band offers quality music to Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pilih Saja Aku by Ajura. Let's enjoy the song.
Wanita yang ku banggakan, semua sudah ku lakukan, dan aku berharap kau jangan pernah ragu, pastikan sikapmu terbaik untukmu. Pilih saja aku, benar-benar cinta, cinta sampai mati, kurang apa lagi. Pilih saja aku, cari ku terus mencari wanita yang baik hati, nanti ku terus menanti cinta yang tulus dan suci. Kini sudah ku dapatkan wanita yang ku dambakan, yang selalu aku impikan. Kini sudah ku dapatkan wanita yang ku banggakan, semua sudah ku lakukan, dan aku pernah ragu, pastikan sikapmu terbaik untukmu. Pilih saja aku, benar-benar cinta, cinta sampai mati, kurang apa lagi. Pilih saja aku.
Ajura, which was formed on October 6, 2006 in Surabaya, consists of Elmo, the vocalist, Milo, guitarist, Fauji, bassist, Bai, keyboards. Their first album entitled Pilih Saja Aku or Please Choose Me involves Teddy Riyadi, Musica Studios, Dodi Is, Kahitna, Noi, Java Jive, and assisted by Rani Noor, Novi, Yunitasari, Milo, and Bai as backing vocals. Now they are still struggling to enliven the Indonesian music world. According to one of the founders of Ajura, Elmo Ajura, the band's name is adapted from a French language. They want to color the local music scene as the blue sky. He said no one who doubted the beauty of the sky. When the color begins to change into gray, then blue is the hope of every human being who always have will. And for young people who call themselves as Ajura, present for that reason. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Aku Mau Tahu or I Want to Know. Happy listening.
Semua janji yang kutulis untukmu, walau hati masih ingin memiliki, tapi mengapa kau tak mengerti? Lama kau tinggalkan diriku, kau kembali menanyakan kasihku yang lalu. Berat untuk menerimamu lagi, lalu ku coba untuk bertanya, apa yang akan kau cari? Ku tak mengerti.
Azura Group is always sure that hard work will always give positive results. Though never struggle with different projects, there will always be new things in every presence. On the debut album entitled Pilih Aku or Choose Me, Azura offers a number of exciting stories that can be applied in life. Because love belongs to everyone. Happy nuance, arrangements with a simple structure and catchy notation flow is so base on this album. There is Janji Setia Song, Bintang Hati, Apakah Mengerti, Menanti Rindu, Islah Cinta, and Bidadari, who played in the beat medium. Okay. Which are played in the beat medium. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Apakah Mengerti or Do You Understand by Azura. Here is the song. Listener, from the 12 songs in the album, there is one song entitled Selamat Malam or Good Evening. The song is a bit different to the existing track. The song is in ballad, packed in acoustic with just rely on piano sound, saxophone and cello. While the song Bandit Cinta becomes a bit strange song of Azura because the composition is formulated with looping elements and wrapped in the upbeat music. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bidadari and Bintang Hati by Azura. Happy listening and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Adakah kiranya
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.